Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Mirkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this segment, 8:30 to 9. And today we have Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman. And inshallah, we'll be discussing few issues. The date today is the 16th of Rajab, 1446, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 16th of January, 2025. Let's welcome Mufti Saab first. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How's everything?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You're sounding very cold there where you are.
Yes, it is chilly. And it's going to get colder. And that's unusual for Karachi.
Is it? During this period?
Yeah. It's dipped below 10 a couple of times. And that is rare.
Okay. Yeah, alhamdulillah.
And it's summertime for you though, right? In South Africa, it's summertime, right?
Yes, but you can feel it's getting a bit, it's not so hot anymore like the past previous weeks and that. Where we are in Johannesburg, at least it's been, yesterday was a rainy day. It wasn't extremely hot, nor was it extremely cold, but it was nice. Alhamdulillah, good weather. So yesterday when I was driving, this was towards Vereeniging. So this one person told me, there's a place here in South Africa, right? It's called Vereeniging. So it's not far from where we are. So this brother came on the other day. You know Imran Khan, I told you, we have a brother, he's coming on next, Imran Khan. And people thinking from Pakistan. So the first question I asked him then when he came on is, do people get confused with you and Imran Khan? So he said, yes, one day he went somewhere he was invited somewhere and some people actually came to that gathering because they heard Imran Khan is coming. So when they got there, they said they realized it's not the same person. Anyway, he was saying that there's Pakistanis who come to South Africa. And they always they say we have to go to Vereeniging. So people wondering, South Africans are wondering, what do you mean Vereeniging? So they said no, that's so they said show us, write it down, then we know which place it is. So when they spelled it and they showed it on the maps, it's actually Vereeniging. Vereeniging is like some African Bura. It has its origins in that. So, but the Pakistani, when he hears it on Google, the lady says, Vereeniging. So they get very happy and say, hey, this is another, we have to come here. Where is this place? We want to see her. But nonetheless, as I was going there, there was really heavy rains. I was actually thinking of turning back. That's how you see all these natural disasters that are taking place in the world, and you think, Allah save us, Allah protect us, you mustn't knock us now. And
as they say, the act of God, huh?
But what do you do?
Natural disasters or act of God.
So what happened? Let me tell you what happened. I said, let me take a turn back and go back home. And I stopped the car to take a turn, and when I took that turn, I couldn't even look through, I couldn't look out my window. So I was forced to carry on. And as I carried on, there was no rain afterwards at the place where we were going to. So if I turned back, probably that would have been worse. And I was, we're against all those climate changes and all of that. At that time, I was just thinking, where are these people now? They say climate change, look at this. These rains come down and they claim they are in charge. But this is all part of the bigger picture of Dajjal, that to make you believe that people are in charge of all of this here. And once you then stand with that belief, you lose belief in Allah. And when Dajjal comes, he doesn't have to do much.
Yeah, that's one thing that he will do when he comes, right? He will bring rain in a place that was like a desert, right? To prove that na'udhubillah, that he is God.
Allah save us.
That's an actual act he will do. Yeah. bring rain in a place where there was no rain.
Move this up now, because you were born and bred in America, so you know what it's all about. Sometimes I can speak on our schools, the schools I went to, because it was filled with Jews, so you have a more or less an understanding of how they operate, and we had to do certain assignments with them. And we were in school with guys with the names of Yaniv and Haggai and all these. But afterwards, when we got to high school, the Jews, somehow they pulled out all their children, and there was no Jews left, very few. They all moved somewhere else. And you know, when a Muslim comes somewhere, we see it here in so many localities. For some reason, I don't know why, but the Jews, they just, when they come in a community, when the Muslims come in a community, you just see them fleeing and they run. They say, we're moving to this place. So I think we came in, they saw us there, they said, hey, let's just go from here. So you have seen what America is all about, and over the years, you've got much years of history. In fact, yesterday, Mufti A.K. Saab was asking who's our guest for this period here. So I said, Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, and all of this. And I said, he's a revert. His name was actually William Solomon. And oh, okay, mashallah, he's actually a revert. He didn't know that. And he knew other facts in that. But I said, you were born in 1955, so it's like almost like Mufti AK's age. So he was asking what you do in that. So I said, you just do tafsir, and now you're more just focusing your whole day on, you know, giving advice and nasiha and speaking against the US and all of this. Yeah. So getting to the point here is, you've seen how they operated with the Taliban when it comes to deals and all of this here. And we know the sponsors are for the rogue regime, Israel, is America, and behind America is other veils of Rothschild and all those people. But in the ceasefire deal, which is proposed now, and they've apparently gone into further talks, but it will be, the actual implementation will take place on Sunday. And there are certain things which they said they will never back down on. One of those things was the Philadelphia Corridor. And the Philadelphia Corridor, I just want to play this. I'll play it now, inshallah. The Philadelphia Corridor, at that time, 4 months ago, it was Netanyahu who came on and said, we will never back down on this year. And this is, if we do this year, it's actually we're selling the whole thing. But today, part of the ceasefire plan and deal, Netanyahu, after 4 months, he comes and he has to now agree, because he's brought to his knees. You can hear all of this here. Just a moment. Here's it. I've got it. Just one moment.
Once we got out, once we left the Philadelphia Corridor, Iran could carry out its plan to turn Gaza into a base, a terrorist enclave that would endanger not only the communities around it, but would endanger Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Beersheba, the entire country of Israel. It became a huge terrorist base because we left that corridor. So we vowed, or I would say all this, you have to understand that the centrality of the Philadelphia Corridor to the arming of Gaza, to the arming of Hamas, and this all led to the October 7th massacre, which Hamas has vowed, proudly vowed, to do again and again and again. We vowed that they won't be able to do it. So we set, as far as Gaza is concerned, 3 war goals. The first war goal was to destroy Hamas's military and governing capabilities. The second was to free our hostages. And the third was to ensure that Gaza never again poses a threat to Israel. And all 3 of those goals, all 3 of them, go through Israel's control of the Philadelphia Corridor. And it's obvious why. You want to destroy Hamas's military and governing capabilities, you can't let Hamas rearm. So
we'll just put Nathan on mute there. So one of the...
we should do that permanently.
No, inshallah, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. We're going to work.
Inshallah, inshallah. So, every soul's a taste of death.
Like how dementia, Biden, he was struggling to speak, and so many mistakes he has been making on his presentations. So this man's day also is coming. So one of the deals that will form part of the ceasefire is this year, that the rogue Israeli forces will reduce their presence in this corridor during the first stage. So this will be following the release of the last Israeli prisoner on day 42. So the first stage, that's a whole explanation there. It needs just a few. So just to give you a few to fill you in, Mufti Saab, that it said that Israeli forces will retreat from densely populated areas along Gaza's borders. They will be also positioned 700 meters east of the Gaza Strip. Other than that, ill and wounded prisoners, 9 individuals from a list of 33, will be exchanged for 110 Palestinian lives, serving life sentences. Then, when we speak about the Gazan detainees, Israel will release 1,000 prisoners detained after the 8th of October 2023, who were not involved in, had nothing to do with the 7th of October events. Also, together part of this deal, men over 50 will be exchanged at a ratio of 1 to 3 for life sentence detainees and 1 to 27 for others. And there are certain other also important points in the special releases. It based on mutually agreed lists. Some prisoners will be freed to Gaza and the rest. So this is part of the first stage. Also, humanitarian aid will follow a strict protocol, and this will also be allowed aid deliveries. More or less 600 trucks will be allowed to go in. And there are also others, but it's just a bit too much to say. But can we really trust a ceasefire? And what's the meaning of a ceasefire? Why have we become so relaxed on this year? Because a ceasefire means just a temporary stoppage. We're going to come back.
Well, it's a publicity bonus or gift for Donald Trump. So I just read that he's been able to do more to stop the war outside of the presidency than Biden was able to do inside the presidency. Okay, he gave that speech last week, saying if this thing doesn't end, by the time I get in office, it's going to be hell to pay, right? That's what he said. Then the fires started in California and everything, and now we have a ceasefire agreement, which isn't too much different than the one they had a couple of months ago. From what I read before, there's not too much difference, but the president of Israel didn't want to go through with it. He wanted to continue to destroy Gaza. Now there isn't too much left in Gaza to destroy. Every hospital has been destroyed. I think every school has been destroyed. So there's not too much left for them to do. What are they occupying now, Israel? They're occupying a country that has been totally destroyed. So, yeah, it looks good that what it is also is this, that was it 1,200? It was 1,200 Jews that got killed? Okay, and more than 46,000 Palestinians were killed. Okay, and now we have a ceasefire, and things are going back to normal now. People will not talk about how Israel is very bad or anything like that. Everybody's happy. Okay, so and it's due to the strong words of Donald Trump. So he can start his presidency, you know, like on a high note. Okay. You know, look what I've done. And before I even got in, okay, and now the problems in America, I will solve them also. Okay, once I get in. You see, so it's a good thing for him.
Yes.
Okay. But it's amazing that I'm listening to this Jew talking about the first thing was to eliminate Hamas. The second was releasing of the hostages. Well, according to their figures, Hamas had 30,000 fighters, okay, in Gaza. And the reports are, unofficial reports, which are very low, is 46,000 Palestinians have been killed. Okay, 15,000 more than the amount of they say was in Hamas, and they continue to fight.
Exactly.
So you tell me. Explain that to me.
And not only that, reports are showing now that Hamas have been able to double their figures. They have been able to double their figures for what is from this goals that were put in place by Netanyahu. That was Netanyahu saying the three goals in all of this. Yeah, he said in 2023, Hamas will not exist in Gaza. So now in 2025, and he's saying we are waiting for Hamas' response to ceasefire proposal. So these are just ways. I'll just play this one more thing, inshallah. And this year we'll highlight, let's see if I've got it here quickly. Okay, this, yeah, I think, let's just see, where is it? Here is it, yeah.
Breaking news, Israel and Hamas have signed a ceasefire hostage deal, and it is a total defeat for Israel and but one victory on the path to total victory for the Palestinian resistance. I pray that this deal is respected and fulfilled in its entirety. Let's analyze why this was a massive defeat for Israel. For starters, Israel will have to fully withdraw from Gaza within the next 42 days after saying that they were going to build settlements in Gaza. In addition to that, after Netanyahu and so many others claimed that Israel would wipe out Hamas, Hamas is stronger than ever before. Secretary of State Blinken came out yesterday and announced that since October 7th, Hamas has been able to replace every lost soldier with a new recruit or volunteer. Hamas is not wiped out. In addition to that, when it comes to the hostages, 30 Palestinian political prisoners will be freed for every one Israeli hostages. And for every one female Israeli soldier that's released by Hamas, 50 Palestinian political prisoners will be released. There will also be an increase in humanitarian aid that is much needed for the Palestinian people. The Israeli economy since October 7th has been absolutely obliterated. Culturally, they are isolated. Benjamin Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant have arrest warrants from the International Criminal Court. There is a genocide lawsuit against Israel at the International Court of Justice. Israel's military suffered thousands of casualties. And all in all, when this is said and done, Israel will have to free 2,000 Palestinian political prisoners, 250 of which are serving life sentences right now. I salute the Palestinian people. Congratulations on your victory, and I look forward to sharing many more with you in the near future.
So this year highlights especially that point which you wanted to say is, and this was said by Blinken. You know, yesterday Blinken, or was it the day before, he was giving his speech of his 4 years coming to an end now. And the woman stood up and she said, I just read the article. So she said, you will always be remembered as bloody genocide, the bloodstains that you've left behind. And she started the secret services, security services. They came in within minutes, but she still ended up screaming and saying the truth. But they took her out within a few seconds. But already then it was gone viral. So here comes the question, Mufti Saab, how... that point which you've raised now, that really makes so much of sense, because Trump is coming in, so this seems like a good, fresh new start for Trump. Whereas I just read something just now. So Biden said he's taking credit for this whole thing. I think that dementia is really killing him, because he said we were pushing for the ceasefire for so long, and he's like almost showing gratitude that it's come now. But analysts have said weren't you the one who now just a few days ago you signed the deal for $8 billion package?
$8 billion.
Yes, for the rogue regime to kill more children in that. So just your input again from this point of view.
Yeah, it reminds me of what happened in 1980 when Reagan came in. Jimmy Carter just died, correct? He was the president at the time when the Iranian Revolution took over and they captured the Americans in the the embassy, the American embassy that was there in Tehran, and they took hostages, okay, and they wouldn't release the hostages, and Jimmy Carter, it was going for re-election, and his approval rating was going down because he didn't do anything, to bring them home, okay, and Ronald Reagan was Republican, talking strong, you know, if I get in office, you know, I'll bomb those guys, I'll do this and I'll do that, and so Carter lost. He lost the election, when they did the polling, they said, well, he lost because most people felt he wasn't doing enough to bring, you know, the Americans home who were kidnapped. Okay. As soon as Reagan got inaugurated in January of that year, like maybe the next week or right after that, the hostages were released by Iran. Okay, same type of thing. So now you have it so many years later with Biden. What's the name? Talks tough. And one thing about Trump, he doesn't like war. All right, he was the only president in the last like 50 years or so that there was no war started during his presidency. So he ran on that. That was his political platform. And so now he gets elected, and before he gets sworn in, this thing ends. Hmm. So yeah, he's the only one that really benefits. When they did the polling this week, a couple of days ago, Biden is at a very low approval rating, the lowest approval rating of any president leaving office since they've been doing this. All right, and some people believe he will be marked down as the worst president in the history of America. Okay, so that's but they want to blame Biden. But it's the complete Democratic Party,
exactly.
Okay, and the press, okay, that hid his dementia, okay? We saw it in his first term, before he got elected the first time, you saw he was going down, okay? But the press hid this, okay, and until the last minute, when he's getting ready to run for re-election, then they open it up and show, hey, look at this guy. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going. And so it was perfect timing for Trump to come in. But yeah, this is America, brother. This is America.
And the one other thing I want to ask is, before we leave you, Mufti Saab, if we see it from American point of view, someone may ask that, okay, if this is true, and they are pushing Trump for Trump's, now he's coming in and it's a smooth start for him, what's in it? What benefit would that be for America? Could this be true, that to say that there's so many Americans now that are also waking up to their brutality and also standing against them, wherever they walk, wherever they speak, they're facing this, at least someone is standing up to them, and this criticism is continuing. So to save their image, it just suits this timing now, that let's gain back a bit of good reputation again, and then we can sponsor climate changes and do some global relief work, all of this, just to get our name and reputation back, so we have the ceasefire, it fits in everything, and then we can slowly go back on it. Could this be one of the behind-the-scenes targets or goals as well?
Well, yes, obviously it could be. But the people that are running America, basically Jews, and those multi-billionaires, Elon Musk and people like that, they don't care what the people think because they have the press behind them. They have Hollywood behind them to whitewash all the black things, all the bad things that they're doing.
Hollywood.
So it really doesn't matter. Okay, you don't know how many people don't. We don't believe, we Americans, you don't believe that man walked on the moon. Okay, but they claim that this is the biggest thing that happened in the 20th century. And so many other things that, you know, 9/11, most people don't believe 9/11 was done by Al Qaeda. Okay, Americans. Okay, but they continue on with it. All right, Biden wants to release some people from Guantanamo Bay. Okay, how long have they been there? Okay, all 20 years they've been in Guantanamo Bay. The war's all been over and Afghanistan is finished, but the people are still there and they haven't had a trial. Okay, but yet they're over there. And the Republicans are talking about how can Biden do that? He wants to release these terrorists back into the world. What? Some of those people were, you know, they just spoke, they spoke Arabic or they spoke Pashto, so they got picked up, all right, and got taken to Guantanamo Bay, which is in Cuba, okay, it's not in America, and held there without trial all these years, but yet. The story is Al Qaeda did this, okay? All those people in Guantanamo Bay are bad people. They're terrorists. If they get let out 20 years later, they're going to do the same thing that they did to get them in there. And none of this was proven. Hmm. All right, so they have this publicity machine behind them, all right, that will do propaganda. And like I said yesterday, that was the first thing that Hitler did. He got people that were involved in the press and making movies and things like this and singing the praises of the Nazis. Right? If you were a Nazi back then in the 1930s and 1940s, then you were, a good person. All right? You look at it now and you see what those kind of people they were.
And just to end off, it makes sense because we saw Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook CEO. He didn't have quite a good relationship with Trump just many months back. But because, as you've said, this publicity tool which they need and Trump's social media, whatever he's got, his network, that's not taking on too well. So he gets all these people involved. And, we've heard of what's his name, this... this Twitter, this what's it?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk. He was staying in the backyard of, you can say, of Trump for $2,000 a night, and they had that close relationship. So he's getting all these people, all this because, as you've said, this is their publicity tool. So it makes sense that they are not they're not concerned about people because they can manipulate the minds and brains, at least of not the people in America, but it spills over here down to South Africa, where people do believe that people reached the moon and they sat on the moon and had a meal there.
Look how they manipulated the COVID, the corona thing in America. And every time they came out with something, the 6 feet apart, this is science. And you have to wear the mask because this is science. Okay? And anybody that spoke out, they were un-American. Okay, if you say that it was not Osama that did the 9/11, you're un-American. Okay, if you say that the Jews, 6 million Jews were not killed, okay, you're anti-Semitic. All right, so they would have the fact checking, right? If something was said that was against the government, then Google had fact checkers saying, no, this is wrong. What the person said is incorrect. We checked it and it's wrong and da, 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 da. Okay. But now we look at it and we see that the fact checkers were wrong. And the people who were against the corona and other things, they were right in what what they were saying. Okay, so now that the corona is finished, now that this war is about to be finished, not war, conflict, this genocide is about to finish, now they said we're going to do away with fact-checking. Sure. Okay, now it's not needed anymore. You see, you were taken off your website. You were dropped from Facebook and this and that because you posted things that were, you know, factually incorrect. Because the fact checker, which was a part of Google, all right, checked it and said you were wrong. Okay, but now that's taken away. So they'll have people now in PR, in public relations, that will give the spin that Israel is now, you know, a very good, is very defiant country, and it stands up for their rights, and, you know, they're alone, surrounded by Iran and all the Arabs and everything. Yeah, okay, maybe they made some decisions that we don't agree with, but it was in the heat of the moment, and it had to, they had to do it to save their country. All right. So look at it now as for 14 months, or more than 14 months, almost a year and a half, all they did was kill. And now they agree to a ceasefire, and people are saying that Hamas won. All right. And now when Hamas goes back to Gaza, all right, what do they have? Is there a hospital that's working? Is there a school that's working? Do they have water? Do they have food? But yet they won. That's amazing. It's amazing that you can even say something like that.
Mufti Saab, we appreciate your time. Alhamdulillah, good points being raised there. And may Allah grant us the tawfiq to see through the enemy and being able to protect ourselves through the sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's lifestyle. We'll meet you on Monday now, inshallah.
Monday, inshallah.
Make dua for us.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Of course. Wa alaikum assalam.